From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message entitled, More Lessons in Prayer from the Transcendent Greatness of God, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, The Dew of Heaven. The text is Deuteronomy 33 and verse 28. His heavens shall drop down dew. What the dew in the east is to the world of nature, that is the influence of the Spirit in the realm of grace. How greatly do I need it! Without the Spirit of God, I am a dry and withered thing. I droop, I fade, I die. How sweetly does this dew refresh me! When once favored with it, I feel happy, lively, vigorous, elevated. I want nothing more. The Holy Spirit brings me life and all that life requires. All else without the dew of the Spirit is less than nothing to me. I hear, I read, I pray, I sing. I go to the table of communion, and I find no blessing there until the Holy Ghost visits me. But when He bedews me, every means of grace is sweet and profitable. What a promise is this for me! His heavens shall drop down dew. I shall be visited with grace. I shall not be left to my natural drought, or to the world's burning heat, or to the sirocco of satanic temptation. Oh, that I may at this very hour feel the gentle, silent, saturating dew of the Lord! Why should I not? He who has made me to live as the grass lives in the meadow will treat me as he treats the grass. He will refresh me from above. Grass cannot call for dew as I do. Surely the Lord who visits the unpraying plant will answer to his pleading child.
Sometimes a
can bring with it nothing but ease.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. In the very opening words of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, we are learning a number of lessons about the nature of the God to whom we pray, as well as things to keep in mind as we approach Him in prayer. If we would pray in the right manner, we must remember that our God is absolutely sovereign and that He is ineffably holy. Further, we may be assured that His wisdom is infinite. He knows the end from the beginning, and His thoughts toward His children are thoughts of peace and not of evil. Now to conclude this message entitled More Lessons in Prayer from the Transcendent Greatness of God, here is Dr. Cairns.
Prayer is so much more than a mere wish list. I've often said that so many times Christians are like spoiled little fellows. Maybe I should say little girls. Maybe one's as bad as the other. You've seen them in the grocery store or some other store, and they have an attack of the gimmies. Gimme this, gimme that, gimme that, gimme that, gimme, and they just rant and rave and throw tantrums until the gimmies have been satisfied. And there are so many grown-up kids among God's people, and that's as far as they ever go in prayer. Give me this and give me the other thing. But there's a whole realm of experience, real experience, open to the people of God. Paul talks of it when he's writing to the Ephesians. I've often referred to Paul's great prayers for the Ephesians, and I would certainly recommend that you study them very, very carefully. In chapter 1, he prays for them. I would recommend you to take the time to memorize this prayer. And then when you've memorized it, time and time and time again, get on your knees before God and pray through it for yourself. It's a wonderful prayer. And Paul is praying basically for three things for the people of God. That God may give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ, the eyes of your understanding, or the eyes of your heart being enlightened. So he's praying that God will give them the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and revelation and understanding so that they may grasp three things. Here they are. Number one, what is the hope of his calling? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us? Now those are three simple sounding headings for prayer. Could I say to you, they, far from being simple headings, they are the studies of a lifetime. And far, far longer than a lifetime. But this is coming to set your affections on things above. Turn over to chapter 3. And Paul is praying again. Verse 14 says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Now what is he praying? That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge. Listen, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. What a prayer. This is setting your affections in heavenly things. This is lifting prayer beyond the list of give-me's. This is coming to the ultimate purpose of a Christian's life on earth. What is that purpose? That I might be filled with all the fullness of God. The word fullness means the communicated fullness. All that God has to give to me in Christ, all that God has covenanted in the covenant of grace, all that Christ has purchased with his precious blood, all that the Holy Spirit has brought by his coming on the day of Pentecost, this is all included in the fullness of God. Yet we as God's people, we come and we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, and we're so busy thinking of something else, we haven't even stopped to consider the import of the words, which art in heaven. He is in heaven, and it's heaven that our heart must be set upon. It's the heavenly things that we must be panting after, as the heart pants after the water brooks. So our souls must pant after him. I tell you, there is no excuse for you and me living out little, shallow, almost meaningless lives. There's no excuse for it. Whatever our sphere, you may be called of God, spent most of your life in a home in the kitchen, or doing the things around the home. There you may have, should have, the fullness of God. You may be called to deal with the public, doing manual work, teaching, selling, whatever the case may be. The old Puritan doctrine should never be lost of the sanctity of every legitimate calling to which God puts a Christian's hand. And in that calling, you should know and may know the fullness of God. There is a fullness. I would ask you sometime just to take your New Testament and see what the New Testament actually says about fullness. How it uses this word. How it opens up vast horizons to the people of God. How it lifts them out of the humdrum of life. And it sets them in heaven. When you pray, "Our Father which art in heaven," don't be satisfied to pray for the nuts and bolts of life on earth. Oh yes, you may pray for those. Jesus does go on to say, "Give us this day our daily bread." That's legitimate. But first and foremost, give your attention to things that are in heaven. Do you know much of the fullness of Christ? Do you ever rejoice in the fullness of His love and grace to you? Do you ever experience anything of the communication of the fullness of His provision for you? Do you ever know anything of the fullness of the power and the blessing of His Spirit? These are the things in heaven. And when we pray, "Our Father which art in heaven," we're saying, "Lord, before I even get to pray for the pressing needs of earth, I want to set my affections on things that are above." And then the final lesson we must learn is you must expect the Father's bountiful answer. When you pray, "Our Father which art in heaven," you're using language which the Lord Jesus Christ deliberately employed to teach His people that God not only is all-powerful, all-wise, all-sovereign, but He is all-willing to answer prayer. We have the notion so much, you know, that God is sort of tight-fisted. That with our lips we say, "Oh yes, God answers prayer." But we have this sort of notion that it's hard to get anything from the Lord. But it's not. Remember Mueller's 3 points in this matter, and I think very often where we go wrong is in one point or the other. Either what we're praying for is not God's work or God's will, in which case we're better to drop it, or we're not pursuing it in God's way, or, as I have found most frequently, I have not waited God's time. Remember that the great George Mueller, who could pray in food for 6,000 orphans and not one of them ever missed a meal, who could pray in what in today's terms would be tens of millions of dollars without ever making an appeal or without ever making a need known, that same great prayer warrior, the man who could, like that, see a squealing infant in a service put to sleep, just let's ask God to put baby to sleep, and just like that, he went to sleep. The man who could pray and the fog off the coast of Newfoundland that had persisted for days, and according to the meteorologists were going to persist for many more days, was lifted in 2 minutes. That same mighty man of prayer had to pray for 60 years and then die before his two best friends the man whose salvation he had made a matter of daily intercession, came to Jesus Christ. God's timing is all important. But God is willing to answer prayer. We must trust that. We must be assured of that. Jesus said in Luke 11:13, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Matthew's version of that, he gives a little wider statement. The Lord Jesus made the same statements, the same kinds of statements, with variations from time to time. And this is one of the variations. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more should your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" The Lord Jesus is saying, listen, you fathers on earth, at best you're sinners. You're evil. You're depraved. But you know how to give good gifts to your children. Now, if an earthly father looks upon his child and he sees a need, not just a greed, but he sees a need, and he realizes it is good for the child to have that need met. It is well within his capacity to meet the need, and the timing is right. All his wisdom and resources say, this is the thing to do. Which of you would not do that for your earthly offspring? You, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. So the Lord Jesus said, argue from that. You have a heavenly Father. You remember what I said last week? The Heavenly Father is totally beyond any concept that we can have of fatherhood here on earth. It is the perfection of divine fatherhood. Your Heavenly Father will give good gifts to his children. And what among those good gifts does Christ especially single out for mention? He gives the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, the mighty enabling grace of the Spirit, the outpouring of the Spirit, the reviving grace of the Spirit. These are the things that the Savior has in mind. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, and which of you doesn't? The Savior says, remember when you pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven," you're praying to one who is not only all able, but all willing. God loves to answer prayer. What does the psalmist tell us? His ears are open to the cries of his people. The idea is that there is an eagerness in God to hear the cry of his people. Why? Because he is their Father who is in heaven. God is transcendently great. The Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. He is so great that we cannot begin to conceive of his greatness. But he is our Father. And the all-wise, all-powerful God of glory is willing and waiting to hear the cries of the weakest of his children. When you pray, say, "Our Father," think of those words. Let them sink in. "Then which art in heaven," let those words sink in. Let the fullness of their meaning enthrall your heart. Learn the lessons and put them into practice as you pray, and you will discover that when this initial part of the Lord's Prayer really grips your heart, then will you be able to go through the rest of the prayer and make its petitions with full-hearted faith and enter into its blessings with a mighty reception.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.